each of us here have been called by God to be a part of the body of Christ. And we've covered that leading into Pentecost and the information which we received in the various messages talking about being a part of the body of Christ and being a part of the church. Some are at various stages of that calling, and we know that
you or through your relatives or through your family, you have that calling available to you. And He's either placed His Spirit in you, or you're being led by that Spirit to the point that we will make a choice. And there's a reason for that calling and a purpose for the calling. When we are called and God does place that Spirit in us, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to focus today on gifts that come with God's Holy Spirit and how we can use those gifts. It's not just the gift of God's Holy Spirit. We receive that when we're baptized. When hands are laid on and God places His Spirit in us, that's when you receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. But there are gifts of the Holy Spirit that come along with that Spirit, and that God has made it clear that with the receiving of His Spirit, there are also gifts. There's talents and abilities that are given. God's Word indicates that through that Spirit, we get special help to be able to perform various tasks. Some gifts are shown to be helps of the ministry, and fortunately, I have seen many of those and have needed many of those in the years that I have been pastoring, that there are extra help and there's extra gifts or talents that God works through and provides, and there's sometimes where many of us in the ministry go, I couldn't have done that by myself, and we couldn't have. In fact, when I was preparing to go full-time into the ministry, I was talking to one of my dear friends, and I said, I don't have what it takes to be a pastor. And he goes, no, you don't. I was like, oh, that's a good friend. And he goes, but God will give you everything you need. And He has. But God gives each of us, when we receive that Spirit, additional helps and additional things that help us to accomplish our purpose for why He called you to be a part of the first fruits. Although God says that the Holy Spirit itself is a gift, there's also additional gifts that come with that. And it's for good reason, and not everyone has the same gifts. It's not that when we receive the Spirit of God, everybody is given the same ability, the same gift, the same talent. That would kind of make things difficult to be able to accomplish the work of God and to help one another if everybody had the same gift and talent. There's a variation. We see in the book of Acts that some of the apostles were gifted with various things. Some were gifted with speaking. Some were gifted with encouraging. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. And we'll start in the book of Acts and look at things that were taking place in the early New Testament church. Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. Acts 9 and verse 26 said, when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. God had already brought him to his knees, convicted him of the truth, and he wanted to join the disciples, but it said they were all afraid of him. And rightfully so. He had drawn Christians out of their homes, had them punished, said they were afraid of him, and they did not believe that he was a disciple. Oh, not falling for that one. We know who Saul is. He's famous in this area. And did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Now, that takes character for an individual to go, no, I will vouch for him. I know that he is with us. And he was encouraging to Paul, but he was also a helper to Paul. It said he declared to them how he had seen the Lord in the road and how he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus Christ. So Paul had an ability, and I think Paul probably had an ability before God gave his Spirit to him and before God had even began to work with him, probably a natural ability as a speaker. But now he says, after receiving this information, preached boldly in Damascus. And so he was with them at Jerusalem, coming and going. And verse 29, it says, he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he disputed against Hellenists, and they attempted to kill him. He's saying he was being threatened to be killed, and he's still preaching the gospel. He is with us, and Barnabas was saying, I vouch for him. Another example, we don't need to turn there, but you can use this as a reference, is Acts chapter 14 and verse 9. Individuals heard Paul speak, and again, the talent and the ability that Paul had as a speaker, says, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice to an individual, stand upright on your feet. It is a statement, not just, let's see if this works. Stand upright. Let's see if you're going to be healed. No, Paul told him, stand upright on your feet. And it says, the man leaped and walked. When the people saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying with the speech of Lycaonians, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. They're like, this man is beyond a man, what we call a man's man. This is a God sent to us in the likeness of men. They saw a miracle performed, and they saw it through Paul speaking boldly and telling the man, stand upright on your feet. Some had special gifts of healing, and we see that through Scripture. Individuals waiting on the shadow of Peter, and coming and laying individuals who were sick or afflicted on beds so that even the shadow of Peter would pass by. You know, I don't know how they figure that. Okay, let's see, Peter's about 6 foot tall, so when he comes by, if we put him over here, the shadow this time of day is going to pass by. But they put them out on beds waiting for the shadow of Peter to pass by, expecting healing to take place and wanting them to be healed. Not all deacons speak, and that's not a qualification of a deacon. Some say, well, oh, you're a deacon, you should be giving messages, you should be speaking. Deacons are servants, and they help serve in a congregation. But Philip, who was one of the first deacons, it tells us that he began to speak boldly and to perform miracles. So you have a deacon who's speaking and performing miracles. Now, some of you here may have a gift of speaking or teaching. That particular gift doesn't mean that you're giving sermonettes or you're giving sermons, but the ability to speak or the ability to teach. Some of our guests here today are teachers. And again, to learn how to teach, how to reach another human being, how to work with someone, and to teach them. It's much different than preaching. Teaching is quite a bit different, and sometimes they correlate with one another. But to have a gift of teaching. These particular gifts that were given were beyond what the Holy Spirit is, beyond the gift of receiving simply the Holy Spirit, or that down payment or earnest that God gives us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 lays out spiritual gifts. It doesn't say a spiritual gift, singular, but there are spiritual gifts. And in verse 1 it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, concerning a multiple of gifts that are given, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, he wasn't saying, you shouldn't be ignorant. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant or unaware. He said, I don't want you to be unaware of spiritual gifts, because the knowledge of those gifts is important. It wasn't just important to Paul. It was important that each of them and each one of us understand spiritual gifts. And he says, I don't want you to be unaware. There are different spiritual gifts. It is a plural word. And it is something that's divinely given by God with and through that Spirit. So verse 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Strong says this word diversities means a variety or differences. He said there's a variety of gifts. And again, that's something we can be thankful for, that God doesn't say every one of you are going to have the same gift. We're all teachers, or if we're all an eye, or if we're all in hand. He says, no, you're each going to have something different, and there's variations of gifts. And again, some may have the same gift, But there's a variation that God uses in the people that he calls to be able to perform something specific. So he said there's a distinction or a variety of gifts. And this isn't just talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, but gifts. Verse 5, it says there are differences of administrations. He said just as there's variations in these gifts that are given, there's variations or differences in administrations, but the same Lord. People do things differently. There's different styles of leadership. We've seen over the years individuals lead. We've seen individuals in leadership positions, and each individual has a different leadership style. I know my leadership style is different than other men and how they lead. And it's not, well, yours is wrong and mine's right. It's just a different leadership style. And a lot of that is based on history. It's based on background. It's based on training, abilities, and talents. But it's different variations of administration. Strong's says this Greek word administration is very similar to what we have as the word deacon, but diokone, and it means attendant or service or offices or serving. He said there's variations in the abilities or the talents of those who are serving. There's a difference in the way that men serve and the way that individuals run things. But he said it's the same Lord. Verse 6, there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God that works all in all. This word operations is a word that means affecting or working. Other commentaries point out that this word means miracles or supernatural workings. He said there's a variety of operations or a variety of miracles or supernatural workings. So these three tell us that there's a variety of gifts. There's a variety of services that are offered by individuals that God is working through. And all three of these are given through God's Holy Spirit. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Again, looking at word studies, this word manifestation, and we should know what manifest means. It means to make plain, to reveal. The word manifestation properly means that which makes manifest, conspicuous, or plain. That which illustrates or makes anything seen or known. It makes it known, makes it, oh, that's what that is. So he says there's a manifestation of the Spirit. There's something that shows what God's Spirit is so we can understand it. It's made plain to us. It's a revealing. And it says that revealing of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The words profit with all in the Greek mean to bear together, to contribute to all, to the advantage of all, for the betterment of all, or to bring individuals together for good. So that is why there's a revealing of the Spirit and the revealing of the talents and the gifts and the abilities that come through that Spirit. New King James Version says, it is for the profit of all. Modern King James Version puts it this way, but to each one is given the showing forth of the Spirit to our profit. He's saying to everybody here, there's a showing forth, there's a revealing of God's Spirit, and you can see God's Spirit at work, and he said, it is for our profit, for everyone here. How does it profit all? Or how does it profit all y'all? We were talking about that recently. How does it profit all of us here? Verse 8, we notice it says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Wisdom and knowledge are different, and each are helpful. You usually need to have knowledge before wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and use it and know how to use it. But wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is the ability to know, having a mind capable of retaining information. Some individuals have a gift of knowledge. I had a friend when I was a young adult who could read something, and he had a photographic memory. Not a lot of good social skills and communicating with other people, But what he saw, he could repeat almost like a 2 pages of information he could just recite back to you just from looking at it. And I thought, wow, that would be handy to have and to use. But it is a gift. But he had the gift of knowledge. He could retain that knowledge. And you could talk to him a week later and he could tell you, oh, this is what it was said. This is what it was talking about. It's a special gift. But that knowledge is a gift. Part of knowledge is the ability to organize information, to put information together. Now, if you have a lot of information or a lot of knowledge and a lot of information, but you can't put it together, you just go, I've got all of this knowledge. I've got this information right here in a book. Well, if you can't organize it, if you don't know what it means, if you can't put it together, that knowledge doesn't have a lot of use. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Taking knowledge, taking something that you have and applying it. The ability to take knowledge and apply it in some way. And that is a different gift. There are individuals in this world who know Scripture and know what Scripture says probably far better than any of us. But they don't know what it means and they don't know how to apply it. They have knowledge and that is a gift. And they can study and they know Greek and they know Hebrew and they know all of these words and terms. But don't know how to put it together. And don't know, as it says here, how to apply it. Verse 9 says, to another is faith by the same Spirit. Meaning not all have the same faith. It says, to one is giving this, to another this, and to another faith. And you say, well, don't we all have faith? We better, to some degree, should have a lot of faith. And different types of faith, because faith goes beyond just, oh, I believe in the future, or I have hope in the future. Faith is a belief, when we talk about the faith, or being a part of the faith. And we even ask each other sometimes, you meet somebody, and you go, are they in the faith, or are they a part of the faith? Talking about a belief system. But he says, to another faith by the same Spirit. Some people have an unending faith and trust. Individuals that never doubt, and when something comes up, they go, well, I know God's going to handle it. I'm not stressed over it. I'm not worried about it. There was a movie recently. It was on TV. My son and I had watched it years ago. And it was about an individual that was a spy and had been picked up. And he was being held and he was going to be prosecuted. And his attorney was saying, this is what's going to happen to you. Aren't you worried? And he goes, should I be? And later, when they were finally doing an exchange, and he said, you know, they can possibly kill you when we do this exchange. Are you worried? And he goes, should I be? He wasn't worried about it. He wasn't stressed over it. But some individuals have that ability when things happen in life or trials or issues come their way, they don't doubt. There's an unending faith. Or if you have an issue or an affliction and you ask, you know, would you pray for me? Oh, absolutely. I'm convinced God's going to heal you. To some, there is a gift of faith, but it is by that same Spirit. Individuals who feel like, and in many cases it's true, they know that God is always there and God is going to be there for individuals. It appears as a calming peace with some individuals. Genesis tells us that God commanded Abraham to go, and Abraham went. Now, we were talking about this on the way to church today, that two words, God told Abraham, and it said Abraham went. He got up and went. By his faith, he showed that he believed. He obeyed God. He followed God. And yet, God was still testing him. To another, it says, is a gift of healing by that same Spirit. And you don't look around the room going, I wonder who in the room has the gift of healing, because I'm going to head over there after services and have them take care of my problem. He said there are gifts of healing, and it is given. We're talking about various stories of healing and things that were taking place. We're discussing some of the things that were in the autobiography of Mr. Armstrong and also the Mystery of the Ages. And we realize that there are healings, and there's still healings today. There's miracles that take place. But here he says, to another is given the gift of healing. One particular story that Mr. Armstrong used to tell, and I can't remember if it was in the autobiography or Mystery of the Ages, but he would tell of the individual that he came across that had the gift of healing. And he watched as individuals came to him and were miraculously healed. And Mr. Armstrong approached him and began to tell him about the truth, and the man rejected the truth and lost the gift of healing. And that is something where we realize there is a spirit there. There is a power there. But this man had a gift, and Mr. Armstrong recognized. He said this was the gift of healing. Individuals were being healed. But when he didn't accept truth, he lost it. There's still more. Verse 10. It says, to another, workings of miracles. And again, I don't know if you're performing miracles. Let me know. I've got a few I'd like to have you perform. But performing miracles or workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. That stirs people's eye. Oh, prophecy. I want that one. I want to be able to talk about prophecy. I want to be able to know the future so I can reveal it to people. The word also means inspired preaching. Oh, I don't want to get up in front of people. I just want to be able to tell them prophecy. But the gift of prophecy, or the gift of inspired preaching. To another, the discerning of spirits. This is something that each of us, I think, should have, at least to some degree, is to be able to discern spirits. To be able to discern the spirit world, and I talked about that a little bit on the Holy Day, when you can recognize another individual who has the Spirit of God. Also, when you can recognize there is an individual with a wrong spirit, or something that is leading an individual in a wrong way. The discerning, the ability, as this coming summer camp, starting tomorrow, and then also for the teen camp, the theme of discernment. But discerning of spirits, the ability to wisely look between and decipher between good and bad, right and wrong, good and evil. The discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues, languages. To another, the interpretation of languages. We recently discussed that as well, that there are individuals who can speak in different languages or various languages, and there's others who can interpret, which is another trick. Not just to be able to understand what somebody's saying, but to listen to it and translate it simultaneously and quickly. That is a gift, and it is an ability. And you may have had some natural ability, you may have been trained in that, but God says this is a gift, and He can enhance that ability. Verse 11, all of these work that same one and self-same Spirit. It's the same Spirit of God, but He's saying there's different gifts, there's a variety of gifts from that Spirit. And it says, dividing to every man severally as he will. What does it mean, dividing to every man severally? New King James Version says, but one Spirit that works all these things and distributing to each one individually as He wills. That makes a little bit more sense, that God's distributing to each one individually as He wills. Not, well, okay, when I get baptized, ask God to give me this certain gift, or I want this certain talent or ability. We don't get a list and we go, okay, how many can I pick off this list and which ones can I have when God places that Spirit in me? It's as He wills. But He says He distributes them to each individually. Each one of us individually, God says, this is where I want to give them a talent or ability. This is where I want them to have a gift that they can use to help other people. Barnes Notes says, dividing it every man severally, conferring on each as He pleases. He confers on each one what He sees to be the best and most wise and proper. To give the dose He knows He's going to use it. When we look at the parable of the pounds or the parable of the talents that God gave to individuals, and some expanded, they used it. They were able to double. The one He gave 5, doubled it to 10. The one He gave 10, doubled it. Again, we realize that there are talents and gifts given to us through that Spirit, and God expects us to use them. And He's going to give individuals the Spirit and spiritual gifts that they can use, that's not just going to benefit them, But there's a purpose why they're given. Through God's favor, he grants these spiritual gifts for the benefit of all. He doesn't grant us a spiritual gift so that we can stand out and draw attention to ourselves. He gives us a gift for the benefit of all. And God expects us to use it for the benefit of others. Just as a man who had the gift of healing. He was benefiting others, but when God gave him more, he lost it because he rejected the truth. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, "But to every one of us is given favor or grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." So this is singular, to the measure of the gift of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. "Therefore," he says, "when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men." Not just a gift of his Holy Spirit, or not just the gift of Christ, but he gave gifts, plural, to men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, and who descended is the same also as he who ascended up far above the heavens that he might fulfill all things. What gifts are being talked about here? Verse 11, "Truly he gave some to be apostles." That's a gift. God called them. He blessed them with the ability to do certain things. And he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets. This is what we're reading, similar to what we read earlier, where he said, to one he gives this, to another this. Here he's saying there are gifts that were given to men. Some are apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some to be pastors, and some teachers. And why were these gifts given? Verse 12. "These gifts and these positions and these offices were given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ." Again, it goes back to that building, goes back to the spiritual temple that is being built by you and I, through you and I, and by God the Father, who he says, "I have a purpose in fitting you into the building, but I'm also going to give you the ability to help and to construct and to be a part of it." It is for the edifying, for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and that edifying of that body. Verse 13, "until we all come into the unity of the faith," helping one another until we're all in the unity of the faith, "and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a full-grown man and to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ." Then he says, "so that," and again, knowing Paul's writings, he's explaining, "now that I've told you this, now this, so that we are no longer infants tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine in the dishonesty of men and the cunning craftiness to the wiles of deceit." He said God put certain men in offices and gave them certain abilities so that they could teach, edify, and help. And he's given each one of us a gift to edify one another so that individuals are not caught up in winds of doctrine that take them away. Individuals that try to sway others by telling them, well, the church's doctrines are wrong. I think differently, or I know, I've proved that something is different. He says, don't be swayed by that. Others introduce new doctrine. Well, I've got a doctrine nobody's heard, so you can't tell me, oh, that's been proven wrong. Nobody's heard this yet, so I've got a new doctrine, and I've proved it. He said, don't be swayed by that. And God said he put individuals in offices to help and to prepare and to teach so individuals will not be swayed by doctrine. Verse 15, "but that you, speaking the truth in love, may in all things grow up into him who is the head, Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body, fitted together and compacted, which every joint supplies," and again, a variation of gifts so individuals can supply what others need. "Every joint supply is according to the effectual working of the measure of each part, producing growth to the body and the edifying of itself in love." The body edifies itself. That's done through you and I, who are the body, the Church of Christ, Church of God. Every part of the body has a purpose and a reason for being called. And I mentioned that at the beginning. That God doesn't do things randomly and go, well, I need about so many people, so I'm just going to randomly throw out my calling and see who grabs it. He calls individuals for a purpose, and we know many are called, but few are chosen. But the calling is available to each of us that are here to give something and contribute back to the body as a whole. But God also adds to what that person can contribute. Similar to when he says, you save your tithe, it's to be used at the Feast of Tabernacles, and he said, I will increase your income. I will bless your increase. I will give you more if you follow this rule. When we use what God has given to us, each one can contribute to that body, but that ability and the gift can grow. God can add to natural talents, and he can add to abilities, and he can give abilities that may not have been there before. Do you and I ask for gifts of God's Holy Spirit? It's not greedy to ask God, can you show me my gift, or can you give me a gift of your Spirit that I can use to edify others? It is greedy if we're asking so we can edify ourselves or to push ourselves up. If we say, can you give me the gift of healing because I want to be known around the world as a healer. I want to be known as this person that can heal. Well, God says, no, healing is for edifying to show where the power is and where the healing comes from, which is God. And if you're saying, I want to do it because I want to be recognized, you know, you're most likely not going to be getting a gift of healing. But do we ask for God's gifts? 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. First Peter 4 and verse 8. Above all things, have fervent love to yourselves. For love will cover a multitude of sins, multitude of iniquities. He said, have a fervent love to yourselves. Have a fervent love among those that God has called you to be a part of. Be hospitable to one another without grudging. I know I should probably get together with so-and-so, but it takes effort, it takes time. And it says, be hospitable to one another without grudging, without going, I don't want to, but I need to spend time with this person. No, it says, be hospitable without grudging. Have you ever met anyone who has the gift of hospitality? I have. I've known individuals where you go, you feel so welcome when you go to this person's house. Or they're always having somebody to their home. They're always inviting. Some people just have the ability to make people feel welcome. They have the ability to show hospitality to others. But notice here it says in verse 10, after it tells us to be hospitable one to another, it says, each one as he has received a gift. Ministering it to yourselves as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He said, you've been given God's favor. You've been called and you have been in the presence of God through His Spirit. But he says, as each one's given a gift, minister it to one another. Use it. Barnes' commentary states, the word rendered the gift is a word charisma in the Greek, and it means endowment of any kind, but especially that is conferred by the Holy Spirit, a spiritual gift. There are undeniable spiritual gifts that are given when we receive the Spirit of God. Do you know what your gift is? Have you thought about what gift then do I have? It's not that God, well, I give you my Holy Spirit, but someday when you've earned it, I'll give you a gift. No, he said, with that Spirit comes particular gifts. Do we know what that gift is or what our gifts are? More than one. Because there are some who are blessed and are given more than one gift and more than one talent and ability. Have you ever considered looking at what God has given you to contribute to the body so that you're able to contribute? What am I contributing? How can I contribute? What is it that God's given me that I can use to help other people within the congregation or within the church? Our calling isn't to serve ourselves or to get something for ourselves. And it's not, well, I've got the Holy Spirit. That's all I need. And that attitude has been there before. No, we say, well, I've got God's Spirit. God's called me to be a part of a body. And he says, I have to contribute each one as he will. What am I going to contribute? What has God given me that I can contribute? Spiritual gifts are for the enhancing of others, not of ourselves. The gifts that God gives us are to be shared and are to show love towards others. In fact, when we look at 1 Corinthians 12, and we look at all the gifts and the talents and the abilities, and he's talking about all these different gifts and the variation of gifts that are given, and then in chapter 13 he says, but seek you the best gift, love. He said, if you don't have love, none of that matters. If you don't have a right approach and a right direction, none of it matters. In the time remaining, I want to look at some of these particular gifts that we've read here that are given by God's Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts are basically divided into three basic categories. Gifts of the ministry, gifts of service, both to ministry and the members, and gifts are special abilities that are added to enhance natural abilities. These things we have seen in the Church of God, and these things are from Scripture, the way God lays it out. First category is used mainly as a vehicle in which the gospel is preached. Gifts of ministering or gifts of the ministry. The second is development of the body. He gives the ministry and the members gifts to help enhance one another. It's not just the minister's put there and he's the one that's going to give all these special abilities and helps and he's going to help all the members. No, the members help the ministry as well. But it's developing of the body, edifying of itself in love. Third category, seen particularly in areas of the Old Testament, where as they were building the temple or the tabernacle, God aided and gave individuals abilities that they did not have before to be able to create and to work on things in a miraculous way. Like David was used, and others were used to write psalms that are inspiring, and we read these and think, well, did David have all of this in himself, or was this something that God enhanced with his spirit? We realize that God is building a spiritual temple, and some gifts, like category one, individuals that have the ability to serve in the ministry, we have writers, speakers, teachers. There's a lot of opportunities that even members have to contribute to these certain things. May have that in themselves to be able to help in that area. Members that can write, and we have gifted individuals who can write and have the ability to write things that are inspirational. But to be able to enhance that natural service by the use of God's Spirit, and we have the ability, and each of us can do this at any time, is write blogs, write articles for Life Open Truth, write study papers and things that can be turned in and presented so that we can help other individuals. Opportunities are there for individuals to be able to help in the ministering or serving of the church. I want to look at some other areas that gifts are given. We talk about gifts of grace or gifts of God's favor. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 7. It says, But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure or the amount of Christ's gift. So God's favor is usually given in various ways. When we see the favor of God or falling into God's favor or receiving that unmerited pardon, there are different descriptions and definitions of the word grace, often misused. But we see God's involvement in our lives, and it can mean a number of things. There are various words from the same root word, grace. I mentioned one earlier. The word grace can be the word gift or charisma. It's a word that is usually for spiritual gifts given to individuals to serve the church. So that's one word. To each one of us, grace is given, or charisma, a gift for serving others. The word can also be translated, or in a variation of the root, joy, chara, C-H-A-R-A. Joyfulness, cheerfulness, calm delight, or gladness. It refers to the quality received from God, not an emotional-based or physical circumstances. It is the quality of having a positive attitude in whatever state we're in. As I mentioned earlier, individuals who have the gift of faith, who just have that positive attitude, I know it's going to work out. As God says, all things work together for the good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. They have that in their mind and they have that in their thinking. But it's the quality of having a positive attitude in whatever state you're in. Like Paul said, whatever state you're in, learn to be content. Christian joy can even be an outcome of suffering for Christ's sake. You have to suffer and you go, I can count it joy because I know what the end result is and I know why I've had to suffer. Another description of this root word for grace or favor is rejoicing. Very similar to chara, C-H-A-R-A, this is C-H-A-I-R-O, chero. To rejoice, to be glad, to be cheerful, calm, happy, and well off. This is a form of grace. It is a thing of doing and the ability to express and infect others with joy, gladness, cheerfulness that God has given to you. To infect it, like we talk about being infected by somebody's laughter. Somebody laughs, and for some people, there's a certain laughter where it just makes you laugh. It may not even be funny, but you hear them laughing, and it infects you with laughter. But to rejoice with laughter and the ability to express that and infect others with joy or laughter. Another description of this root word is thanksgiving or eucharista. Thanksgiving, gratitude, thankfulness in worship of God, and the appreciation for things that are given. The respect of God for all good things in life, knowing that it all comes from Him and giving thanks to Him for it all. The ability to be thankful. There are some individuals who you can give things to and they tell you thank you and you wonder, well, did they like it? Are they going to use it? Other people have a gift of thanksgiving and they express that and show that and you know they're excited about it and you know that they wanted what you gave to them or that it's going to be used by them and to be helpful. It is a gift. There are gifts of ministry. Some of these gifts can be passed along. And you think, well, how could somebody pass along a spiritual gift? Romans 1 and verse 11 says, "For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift." Paul saying in Romans, I'm longing to see you because I want to give you a spiritual gift. I want to give you something that you can help others with to the end that you may be established. He goes on, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Paul said, I want to give you a spiritual gift that you can help others with. I think of Elijah and Elisha. He said, ask what you will and it's going to be given to you. And he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want to do what you did and more. I want to be excited like you are. I want to have that kind of charisma. And it was given to him. He said, well, if my cloak falls on you, what you've asked for, you're going to be given. But it is the ability to pass along or to help give another gift to someone. I'll look at gifts of the ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 goes through and lists a variety of offices and positions within the church that are used for the edifying of the body. In verse 28, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, it says, God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, and diversities of tongues. We see evangelist, or the word evangelistic, and it means a messenger of good. Evangelist denotes a preacher of the gospel. This is from Unger's Bible Dictionary. It says that in the early church, evangelists were sent forth as missionary preachers of the gospel by the apostles. They were to prepare the way for pastors and teachers. You send out an evangelist, test the waters, lay the seed, stir up the interest, and then pastors and teachers would then follow and begin to teach on another level. But they were sent out to prepare the way. The calling of an evangelist is the proclamation of glad tidings to those who have not heard them yet. And it gives examples of Philip being sent out as an evangelist. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, it says, But you watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fully carry out your ministry. He says, do the work of preparing the seed for pastors and teachers to be able to follow. So evangelists had a particular job and a thing that they were to do. I've had some asked today, or within the last couple of years, why don't we call people evangelists? Why don't we send evangelists out? We had a time where we had evangelists and they were going out and they were preaching and providing information in a variety of ways. We do have individuals who are taking a message of good out, and we have individuals who are fulfilling that role, not quite in the same way as it was done 30 years ago, and not in the same quite way as it was done with the apostles. Barnes says this phrase here means do the work of preaching the gospel. Well, wait a minute, we have people doing that. To do the work of preaching the gospel, one appointed to proclaim the glad tidings of salvation. This is a proper business of all ministers, whatever rank they maintain, whether it was regarded as a proper duty or separate class of men to do this. Evangelizing, preaching the gospel, carrying out the good news is something all ministers, he's saying, is supposed to do. But evangelists had a particular job, and that's what their particular job was. It wasn't to pastor a congregation, it was to evangelize, to go out and start spreading the good news. We have pastors, and I recently covered offices in the church. But pastors, one who tends or herds a flock, not merely one who feeds them. You could have somebody every Saturday come speak and feed. Give you messages, give you information, give you things to consider and think about. But if I said, that's it, I'm only available 2:30 to 4:30, I'm only here to teach, and if you want help, you want something else, you're on your own. Here's my time frame, 2:30 to 4:30. You can catch me before or after services. I'll extend that window a little bit, but that's it. No, pastors are given there not only to feed the flock or to tend, but they're to guide, they're to feed. Other qualities given to pastors are watchful, gentle, affectionate, exhorting, warning, and comforting. You have to warn. It's not a pleasant thing where you go, you got to turn this around. You're doing something wrong and it's going to affect you or it's going to affect the congregation and it has to stop. But it's a warning. You have to exhort. You have to comfort. When individuals suffer, as it says, when one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. If somebody is suffering loss, we feel for them. And again, as pastors, we show that affection. We go out and visit. We help them and are gentle and comforting. Next is teachers. And some say, well, pastors and teachers are pretty much the same thing. There is a difference between pastors and teachers, as we've covered before. Teachers of the truth, one who undertakes a religious assembly to show or to help people to learn with special assistance of God's Holy Spirit. Teaching is an important branch of the commission of the church which Christ headed. And it was given to the apostles before his ascension. That's from Unger's Bible Dictionary. It is a special gift to be able to teach. Now, we have teachers in the church. And some say, well, yeah, but you have to be a man to teach. No, we have Sabbath schools. We have children's classes where women are involved in teaching. We have articles that are written And that is a teaching tool. It says women are not to speak or to give messages at church, but they can contribute to the teaching of individuals. And even when we read in the New Testament where it says, you, older women, be an example. Teach the younger women to do this. You can be a teacher to help and to teach in that way. There are miracles. The word miracles is a word that means power or inherent ability. It is used of works of supernatural origin and character such as could not be produced by natural agents or means. Another word that is sometimes interpreted as miracles is S-E-M-E-I-O-N, semeion, which means to sign, to mark, or as a token, used as miracles or wonders as signs of divine authority. Individuals who perform miracles, not just for the sake of performing a miracle, it's not we're doing Vegas acts and people are going, oh, that was interesting, how'd they do that? Miracles that are used to show God's divine power, where people go, that couldn't have been done without God's help, without God's power. Now, some signs and miracles people are going to be able to perform in the end, and we realize people are going to be deceived by that. Oh, they're performing miracles. They must be of God. No, these are miracles that are performed only by His power that reveal Him. It says, wonders are manifest as divine operations or divine workings. Next, we see signs. And wonders and signs are different. Signs are miracles. It says signs are significant. They reveal in an extraordinary way something about God. Not only His power, but also His kingdom, His plan of salvation. And such signs are meant to evoke wonder, praise, and humble respect of what God can do. Now, there were wonders, and there were signs, and there were miracles performed in the New Testament. And individuals today say, well, why don't we have that today? Why don't we see some of those same signs? Well, there are miracles of healing. There are miracles of God divinely intervening and opening doors. And I know even in my life, I've asked for particular things even within the last few months, and God kicked the door open and answered exactly what I was asking for. And you go, well, yeah, time and chance, it could have happened. Yeah, it could have. I asked and God gave it. And I recognize where that help comes from. But Christ worked all kinds of signs and miracles in order to point out where God was working. And the purpose of those signs was to put focus on God. And He kept saying, I'm here to do my Father's work. I'm here to reveal the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. And He was doing a work and doing signs and wonders pointing to where God was working. They signify the sovereignty of God, and they can only be done through Christ and according to His will. These are signs. Signs and wonders were done in the book of Acts, and we can read multiple signs and wonders that were performed. And again, we see them today. As a reference, John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. He said, all men will know that you're my disciples because of the type of love you have, that there's an agape love that is being given from you and through you, and it's something that identifies His people. He said, by this shall all men know. That's a sign. Something very particular. Individuals will say, well, I can't place my finger on it, but there's something different about your group. It's so pleasant to work with. We want you back. We want to deal with you. Because He says they will know by that love, one for another. We see the gift of healings. And the word here is plural. Healings. Not just the gift of healing, or the ability to heal, but healings. Concepts of healing refer to bringing wholeness or soundness to any or every aspect of human life. Matthew 4:23 says, Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness. He healed various manners of sickness and all manners of disease among the people. Sicknesses and disease. Is that the only variation in healings. And speaking of this plural word healings, we're talking about physical and spiritual healing, or physical and mental healing. Healings of Christ were not only physical healings. It says he healed them and he cast out demons. That is a healing of the mind, the removal of spiritual influences like that. But he heals the mind. Individuals who were crippled from birth and he healed them. Individuals that were blind. But we also have healings that were performed where individuals, through their mind, were able to function properly again. We also have healings that are done through anointing. It's through a spoken word. Not because something miraculous just it comes and all of a sudden the person, oh, never mind, what we were praying for has been given to me. We can stop there, we're done. But given by the spoken word, or by touching, laying on of hands. We also see and understand and know that it is given by anointing cloths that are sent. And there are a lot of organizations and denominations in the world say anointing cloths are a joke. That was never intended. That's not what is meant by where Paul sent cloths to individuals. Mr. Armstrong used to explain, we know that this is true because we have anointed cloths and sent them, and individuals were miraculously healed. It is through the prayer of faith, but it is through cloths. And we see miracles and healings through even anointing cloth. The miracle of tongues. Individuals who have the ability to learn languages or to have no languages without even having learned them, which we see in the book of Acts, but also to enhance a natural ability. If you've learned other languages, to be able to carry that further and expand your knowledge and expand the ability to be able to use that language in a particular way. Speaking languages by a miracle or by a gift of God, expanding that natural ability. But giving understanding and knowledge. The gift of prophecy, or the ability to speak inspired speaking. Teaching to edify, exhort, comfort, and through the gift of ministry to encourage and to help motivate others to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. A member who has this particular gift is able to show and to teach the love of God and use it as a way to strengthen and encourage other individuals. The last one that was mentioned in what we're going through was the discerning of spirits. A spiritual gift by which first a minister is able to judge what spirit the speaking of others proceeds from. Not necessarily is that a demon speaking to me or not. But if a person is speaking from a certain spirit, something is driving them to speak about something or to try to teach others or draw them away. The ability to judge what spirit the speaking of another person proceeds from, whether the Holy Spirit or human spirit. That's being able to discern spirits. Oh, he's talking and he's talking about religious things, but that's not spiritual. Not from from God's Holy Spirit. That's from his human spirit. That's human reasoning. So it says it proceeds whether Holy Spirit, human spirit, or specifically demonic spirit. And it says thus the preserving of the church is provided through the ability to discern spirits. To be able to see what's right, what's wrong. Members should also be able to have this spirit of discernment to be able to recognize things quickly. Now, I've had individuals say, well, after being baptized, one of the things I noticed is automatically things I used to have to think about. Now that red flag pops up and says, nope, that's not a good thing. That's a discerning, and that's the use of God's spirit to discern. To recognize the spirit world. To realize sometimes individuals, they may be speaking truth, but you realize there's something not quite right there. And you realize through the spirit, what's motivating them to talk to you about something else may be in the process of pulling away or for the reason of pulling away. But if it's done out of a wrong spirit and a wrong attitude, that's something that can be discerned. 1 John 4, verse 1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe everything you hear and say, well, that must be God's Spirit. Don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits to see if they're of God. Because many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world. And he says, by this, you know the Spirit of God. You're able to identify and recognize, no, this is very clearly of God's Spirit. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. If it recognizes the authority of Jesus Christ, it shows the need for all of us to try to improve, to be able to discern spirits so that we can recognize very quickly false teachers. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says that it shows members are able to discern differences between the spirits of this world and the Spirit of God. And again, sometimes that you think, well, that's nothing I want the ability to be able to do. It's something we have to do because Satan is the god of this world, and the demons are there. And we have to be able to recognize very quickly, this is not right. It's of the wrong spirit. This is a demonic spirit. It's something I cannot be entertained by or something that I can be a part of. Next is the gifts of service. And I'm going to move along much more quickly. And Mr. Stein keeps changing that clock every week. But to be able to go through, as it says in Romans, not conforming to this world, but being transformed, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And it says, for I say that through the grace given to me, this is Romans 12 and verse 3, he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly according as God has dealt every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members, one body, all members are not of the same office. So being many, we're one body in Christ and members one of another. Romans 12 and verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to that grace that is given to us. And it goes through whether a prophecy, let us prophesy according to proportion of faith. Whether ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches on teaching. He said, focus on that gift that's been given to you. Or he that exhorts on exhortation. Here's another one that's listed. He said, there's a gift of exhortation. And the word to exhort means to call near, to invite, to comfort. We talked about hospitality. It is a gift. The ability to be able to call or invite, to welcome somebody in, or even the ability to invite doesn't necessarily mean invite them to your home or to a restaurant. The ability to make people feel comfortable where they invite you to have a relationship with them. So here we see this description of spiritual gifts that are used by the brethren. Gifts that are given to develop by God's Holy Spirit. They're also called gifts of helps or gifts of relief. And again, we realize we help one another and there's an opportunity to help one another in that way. There's gift of strength. 1 Corinthians 7:7 says there's a gift of strength. It says, for I would that all men, even as myself, every man, has this proper gift of God, one of this manner and one of another. I say that therefore unto the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them that they can abide even as I. Paul was saying, if you're serving and you're helping and you're not married, he said, use that gift, that the ability that you have. You're not tied down to the home at this time. He said, use that as a gift. Point here is each person has been given a proper gift. Talked about the gift of craftsmanship in the Old Testament and how God gave individuals the ability. He also gave them gifts of music. The gift of music can be used as a vehicle to inspire others in a very personal way. A tool within the church that we appreciate when we hear special music or as the dedication of the building to hear the song of dedication. It can be used to unite brethren. It can be used to express the proper praise and worship of God. There are gifts of music and prophecy together. David gave that example of prophesying or inspired teaching or preaching, but put it into poetry. and put it to music. There's a lot of spiritual gifts that are given besides just the Spirit itself. What gifts have you been given? Again, it's something I want you to consider. I want you to think about and ask God, show me what gift you have given to me. Help me to know what I need to work on, how I can use that gift for the edifying of others. And what are you doing with that gift? What are you doing with that talent or ability? Are you using it? Or are we even finding that gift? Or are we as the talents where it says, well, God gave me a gift, but I didn't know what to do with it, or I was afraid to use it, so I buried it. And then when he comes back, he goes, okay, what'd you do with the gift I gave you to help the church? Well, I didn't know what you wanted me to do with it, so I just buried it. I waited. Here it is. Here's your gift or talent. A little too late to use it at that point. He wants us to use the gifts and the abilities he gives us because he says these gifts are given for the edifying of the body. God has given his church the Holy Spirit, and with that, spiritual gifts. And he tells us why. He said it is obviously for personal development. But he says these gifts are given for the perfecting of the saints. They're given for the work of the ministry. And he says they're given for the edifying of the body of Christ.